This is cool.
Super casual.
How much was your mic setup?
Honestly, I think it was. These are nice. Think each mic was probably like $80, which is not like that's actually really. These aren't like top of the line.
They're pretty good though.
They're not beginner either, so they're pretty solid.
But your audio is good. Yeah. I mean, I've been watching. I watched Brianna's. I watched Tristan's. Who else did I? I watched a little bit of Jeremiah's. Mm-hmm. Right? His is out.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not tripping. Right. Who else did I watch? I watched Johnny's. Who else did I watch? Who else have you had on the pod?
I've had a good amount. I've had Dickie. I've had.
Oh, I didn't watch him.
No, that one's good.
I should. Well, I should.
You know Arturo from Sushito?
Yes. I saw a little bit. Well, yeah. I've seen the clips on Instagram. So.
Do you go to Rush Cycle?
No.
No.
My sister has been telling me, though, to go. Uh-huh. You had Alexis?
I had Alexis, yeah.
I like her. She's super cool. But. Whenever you're ready.
Yeah, for
I
sure.
I don't want to yap
we're going. No, this is what it
okay.
is.
Okay, so you go. You ask me whatever you want.
No, honestly, so I this is episode 65 of The Most Vulnerable Player.
Cool.
Apologies if I sound, I know I definitely sound probably a little congested.
I still have the cough, so if I cough, please cut that out because it does not sound cute. Let me say that.
No, for sure. I might have a few coughs too, but that's why I brought, if you need cough drops, by the way, I got you.
I took a puff of my inhaler, so I think I'm good.
Yeah. Does that usually help you out?
Yeah. Well, I have asthma.
Oh, okay.
We'll get into that a little later, but because that's a big key part of my life, but yeah, it's been pretty bad.
Okay. But yeah, episode 65, we're sitting down with Kimberly.
Mm-hmm.
And then your last name's 40, which is, I think that's the most like unique last name I've ever heard. That's so dope.
It's Italian.
Okay.
So I'm Italian and Mexican. My dad is the Italian one, so that's where the 40 comes from.
40. Mm-hmm. That's so distinguishable here in El Paso.
It is. It is. Honestly, it's pretty different. There's not a lot of 40s here.
Have you met any other 40s?
My cousins. my cousins, that's pretty much it. I mean, I have second cousins too, mm-hmm. but I don't really know them as much. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's pretty different.
That's dope.
I would say that.
And so you grew up here in El Paso?
Mm-hmm. I sure did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lower Valley.
Mm-hmm. Lower Valley kid. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So elementary was what?
So I actually went to a Catholic school, pre-K to eighth grade.
Okay.
And Lower Valley again. I went to Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
Mm-hmm.
That closed. And then we went to Our Lady of the Valley, graduated eighth grade. Then I went to Isleta. Originally was supposed to go to America's High School because I lived on the east side. But tradition, family, my mom was a single mom, mm-hmm. teacher. My grandparents lived on Roseway, so it was either Del Valle or Isleta. Mm. And we're like, I'm not going to go to Del Valle.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Isleta. So we went to Isleta, and it was fun. I mean, I don't regret going at all. Mm-hmm. I don't. I love
it. That's good. And so growing up, what was kind of, well, because you have an older sister.
Yes.
And then you have a younger brother.
Yes.
Are those your only two siblings?
That I know of, yes. Yes. I don't know. My dad might have some explaining to you. No. Yeah, two siblings, my sister and my brother.
Yeah. And you guys seem pretty close.
Dangerously close.
Yeah.
We know too much about each other, but it's a good thing, you know? When you have siblings, I think you can't really trust a lot of people because when you have that relationship with your siblings, it's not the same. Like, you can have friends, right? But it's just, you can't trust people as much as your siblings, you know?
There's nothing like that relationship.
Exactly. Huh? Yeah. And very close-knit. Very close-knit family. Like, you can even ask Tristan. He was like, bro, you guys tell each other everything. You see each other almost every day. Talk every day. And it's like, that's how we were raised.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm the same exact way. It's crazy.
You only have a sister?
No, so I have I'm the youngest. She's my older sister, and then I have an older brother.
Okay.
But it's the same thing. It's we're all super close. Like,
that's cool.
It's even though they're like, my brother's 10 years older, but we're still like best
friends. How old are you?
I'm 25.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
You're a baby. I'm like, you're a baby.
I'm only a few years younger.
Five.
No. Five?
I'm 30 years old.
So, snap. Dirty 30?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm going to be 31 this year. So, it's coming up.
Yeah. So, is your brother my age?
Or how? He is.
Oh, okay.
Wow. That is crazy. Yeah. You guys act totally different. He's a little crazy kid, but yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah. I've seen him like on social and everything. I don't think I think we have like a lot of the same
friends
and stuff.
Yeah. He's cool. He's a cool kid. I mean, he's, you know, still figuring out his life.
Same.
Still deciding whether or not he wants to go to school or not, but Mm-hmm. I'm very much so follow your heart type of thing, but sometimes you got to use your brain.
For sure.
You know what I mean? I'm like, you know, but yeah, 30, so, yeah. 31.
Mm-hmm. What's that dynamic between like your siblings? Who's like the level-headed one? Who's like the crazy one? Are you guys very similar?
Okay, so I'm the middle child, right?
Yeah.
My sister is the eldest. My brother's the youngest. I had my time mm-hmm. of craziness. You know what I mean? I partied a lot. I did a lot of crazy things. But I was the one who was always the one that kind of brought everyone together. My brother, he's like a live in the moment type of guy. So he likes to just think of the next day. He doesn't really think future.
Like super long term.
Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah.
But sometimes.
It has its pros for sure. Yeah.
My sister, I admire my sister a lot because she's very, strong-willed? Mm-hmm.
That's...
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if she wants something, she's going to do it. Mm. And I admire her a lot. It doesn't matter if she has to say no to people, if she has to miss certain events, she's going to do it, and I admire her a lot.
Yeah, her work ethic is...
Very crazy. Yeah. Very, very crazy. If you look at her portfolio, she's doing great things.
For sure.
Me, I'm a little bit in the middle. Mm-hmm. I would say that I have great work ethic too, but at the same time I'm very chill. Mm-hmm. I'm a Taurus, so we're very earthbound. We don't really like problems. I don't like problems at all.
You're not unless, confrontational.
No, unless I have to be.
Yeah,
that's a little different. But but yeah, no, I'm not very crazy. I've like I said, I had crazy times in my past. Mm-hmm. I regretted a lot of things that I did, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Did you go to college?
I did.
Yeah. Where'd you go?
UTEP.
UTEP?
Mm-hmm. I graduated with my bachelor's degree in communications, focus in digital media production.
Nice.
So all this stuff, it's really motivating me right now. Yeah. Yeah. I have literally everything that you have. I just don't use it, which
Let's
is
do it.
Stupid. Yeah. But yeah, no, I went to college. I graduated in 2017. I was 22, 23. And then I worked for a little bit, working a job that I didn't really...
What was it?
I was working in an office. Where was I working? I worked a lot of jobs. I don't know if you want me to go into that, but I've...
What kind of jobs? Just like serving?
Okay, so my first job was... I worked at a yogurt lounge. Mm. Craze yogurt lounge. Okay, yeah. It was fun. Not a lot of money. I worked as a coach at Desert View Middle for volleyball because I played volleyball.
Sweet.
Yeah, that was fun. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I know I'm missing something, but I did work in an office. I was a cocktail server.
Oh, okay.
At Born and Raised.
Sweet.
I don't know. You're probably too young for that.
Well, I definitely...
Did you hear about it?
Yeah, Johnny told me about Born and Raised.
Yeah.
Which is how it was on mm-hmm. the one where Showtime is, right?
Yes.
Nice guy.
So I actually used to work with Johnny and J&K, and I don't know if I could say this, but I worked there when I was really young, mm-hmm. Not of age, but I was working as kind of like, what is it? It was like a street team promotion.
Oh, okay.
So that's what they would call it. Like mm-hmm. you would help bring people into the events, and yeah, it was fun. I mean, I would get into shows for free. I would hang out with all the artists in the green room. Very fun. Hospitality type of vibes. Yeah.
I'm sure you met a lot of cool people.
A lot. Yeah. I've met a lot of people. Mm-hmm. A lot of artists. I met Virgil Abloh.
Oh, wow.
DJ Mustard.
That's sick.
Valentino Khan. Freaking Carnage.
Yeah.
So many people. Little Yachty. Like all those people. Mm-hmm. And it was fun. So once I started working there, I don't remember what job I was working. I'm telling you, I've had so many jobs. But that was a really cool environment to work in because it kind of opened my mind up as far as like production.
Yeah.
I still want to do something like that, you know,
at some point.
Yes. And maybe open a bar type of thing.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of ideas. It's just execution and
for sure,
of course, the money. It's
yeah,
a lot of money. So I worked there and I was working with them for quite some time. I don't know if Johnny told you, he used to have a shoe store at Montecillo called High Point.
I worked
there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I worked there with AB Gonzalez, the photographer.
Yeah, I've heard the name.
Yeah. I actually introduced AB into Johnny and they kind of hit it off and they just became really good friends after that. And what else? I worked so many jobs with them. I worked at their office. I was like kind of like the front desk girl.
Wow, dang! I didn't even know that you had a worked for J&K.
Yeah, I've known them for quite some time.
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah. It's been a minute. A lot of things. I worked a lot of jobs. I have a lot of skill sets, which is really, really good.
So what things were? So obviously you went to school for communications. Mm-hmm. What things were you like? What did you envision yourself doing like at that time, you know? Not even with communications, but what were you passionate about and what were you like kind of striving towards?
Okay, so it all started when I was in high school. I took a like a computer class, mm-hmm. like videography class, and I started YouTube, which I kick myself in the butt every single day because I've had my YouTube channel for like 10 years.
Yeah, I was watching a video. Do you edit those?
My God. Yes, I do. Really good. Oh my God, those are so embarrassing. But, you know, I feel like if I stayed consistent, I think my life would have been a little bit different. I think I would have been, you know, pretty big.
No, those were getting like very good.
They were. Yeah, and I was telling, who was I telling? I think Tristan or somebody, that I was excited to get on the pod because I feel like it's going to reignite.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I just need to get myself out there. But so in high school, I started making videos. It was like the end and it was very new to mm-hmm. everybody, the whole YouTuber thing. And I was nervous, mm-hmm. obviously. People, they'll talk smack, whatever. Yeah, yeah. Can we cuss on this?
Yeah, okay. For sure. I cuss a lot. You can cuss as much as you want.
So I started making videos and then I was like, what can I go to school for? Because at the time, if you told your mom or your dad, I want to be a YouTuber, they'd be like, girl, what is wrong with you? Like, no, there's no money in that. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go to school for something in the technical realm. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do like journalism or anything like that, which I could still initially do, but I loved the technical part, like editing, videography, photography. I love photography too. That's something that I did on the side as well. And yeah, that's how I started looking into it. And
yeah, then
I
editing
would,
videos.
Yeah, and I would just watch videos on how to edit videos. And then once I went to school for that, I had a really good teacher at UTEP. He taught literally all the classes because the program was so small.
Were you using Premiere?
I was using Final Cut
Pro. Okay, yeah, that's what I use.
Yeah, I learned Premiere. It was a little bit more difficult for me. I think Final Cut Pro was a little bit more easier. But yeah, it was a time. It was very hard to get into. I bought my camera and it was expensive, mm-hmm. but I still have it to this day.
Yeah. No, yeah, I was watching a lot of those videos and like you for sure know how to edit, like just a bunch of different.
I feel like I could get it back into it. I just actually bought Final Cut and that was not cheap.
No.
Because in school, I don't know if people know this, if you're a student, you get it for like cheap.
Super cheap.
Super cheap, like $20 or something. But I'm not a student no more.
You're going to have to get... She's making a comeback, everybody.
Can somebody please give me your username so I can get that thing for free? But yes, I will be making a comeback hopefully soon. Yeah.
So you started it like towards the end of high school. So during that span of working like your jobs, J&K and everything, you were still doing like content and doing the YouTube thing. And
It wasn't even called content at the time. That's crazy, huh? Uh-huh. It was just videos. YouTube videos.
Anything on Instagram or...
Instagram
TikTok wasn't...
No, around. You know what? Instagram at the time was barely starting. Like, people were using it as a filter app. Literally, we didn't know it was a social media app until... I don't even know how it popped off, but we just started using it as, oh, it's a photo editing app.
Yeah.
And you started uploading videos and... Well, not videos, I'm sorry. Pictures. And I don't know how it started becoming a big thing because Facebook... And I don't know if MySpace was still big, but Twitter was big. Mm-hmm. And you would post your pictures from Instagram to Facebook, but nothing really serious on Instagram.
Yeah. Mm-mm. So you're just doing the YouTube thing. Mm-hmm. And it was just, what kind of videos? Because I noticed you've been doing a lot of like beauty stuff for the longest.
Yeah.
Was kind of like the main.
Mm-hmm. I've loved beauty since like eighth grade, ninth grade. I was just doing crazy makeup looks. Learned makeup from YouTube. There was this YouTuber called Michelle Phan. She's like the first OG, literally the first one who made like a makeup tutorial.
Yeah.
And I was so inspired and I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. So I started making my own videos and I started doing freelance makeup kind of like my last year of high school and then entering into college. So when I was working, I'm sorry, when I was going to school at UTIP, I was doing makeup on the weekends. Mm. So I was doing like bridal party, yeah, type of thing, quinceañeras and all that stuff. So yeah, that's kind of how I funded everything.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And so it comes about, from what I've seen, like around the pandemic was when you started like your own business. Like,
yeah. Officially. So I was actually working a job that didn't have anything to do with communications, beauty, nothing like that. Mm-hmm. I was working for a company who did timeshare consulting. Mm. So I was traveling every week for a whole year straight. I'm sorry, I keep moving this. And then I decided that it wasn't as fulfilling as I wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. Very creative. I like to use my hands. And all I was doing was like on a computer. Mm-hmm. And I told myself since a young age, I was like, you know what? First of all, I have a very distinct style. I don't like to be dressed up all the time, you know, mm-hmm. like suit and tie type of thing. So I knew for a fact that I didn't want to work behind a desk my whole life.
Yeah.
So then I had to take the leap. I was 26 years old. My mom hated me at the time because she was like, you want to go back to beauty school? Mm. Like, you have a good job, you have a career. And I was like, I don't know. I'm not feeling fulfilled right now, you know? Yeah. So
was it just the travel that was, well, obviously you weren't able to express yourself creatively like mm-hmm. that. Was the travel kind of a lot?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and it was crazy because at 26 years old, I was making almost 70,000 a year.
A good ass job.
Very good job. Yeah. I wanted to buy my dream car, but I decided not to. And I was just not, I don't know. I got tired. I got really tired. I would fly out Tuesday morning really, really early. Sometimes we would fly to like the East Coast and it was, oh my God, it was a long day. I would get to New York or somewhere at like midnight and I would have to work the next day. It was crazy. It was amazing because I got to see so many parts of the United States, different people, but it was very exhausting.
Yeah. No, I bet. I mean, very exhausting. You kind of think to yourself, like, especially when you see, or just traveling in general, mm-hmm. like for vacation, mm-hmm. it's always like an amazing experience.
Yeah.
But I'm sure for work, after a while, it just gets like super tiresome.
Yes. And I was working with nothing but men, which is, there's nothing wrong with men, but I was very young. And I mean, it was what, 5 years ago that I did that. And it was just different. I wasn't, like I said, fulfilled. I needed something else.
Yeah, for sure.
And I was ready
to
take the leap.
And I was scared. Yeah, I was going to say what was going through your head at that time? Was it like a lot of doubt? Was it a lot of
fear? Yes, yeah. It was both. Mm-hmm. You know, because I respect my family a lot and I respect my mom a lot. You know, her being a single mom, she kind of gave us everything. So I didn't want to fail her and fail myself, obviously. But I, like I said, I spoke to my sister a lot and I don't want to say she's a rebel because she's not. Well, in her younger years she was, but she was more so like, why don't you just do it? Like, dude, you're not getting any younger. Like, I know that you have a good job right now. You're getting paid really good, but is this something that you really want to do?
Yeah.
And I had to really sit down with myself and tell myself like, okay, it's now or never. If you don't do it now, you're never going to do it.
Yeah.
But the thing that kind of helped me out was the pandemic. Mm. So I started traveling in the year of 2019, and then the pandemic hit in March of 2020. I signed up for school, beauty school, maybe in December. Mm. And I started in March. I went to school for a whole week, and then everything shut down. Mm. So I literally quit that job that was traveling because we weren't going to be able to travel either way.
Yeah.
And it just all fell into place. It was crazy. It was hard, but it was wild. I had to get a job again, a full-time job while going to school for beauty. And, you know, I should have just wrote it out like everyone else getting their little, what is it? What were they called? The money? What was
The stimulus?
Yeah, the stimulus. or filed for unemployment, but I decided to get a job and that was pretty intense.
So at that time, you felt like you were just like really seeking your mom's approval for a lot?
Yeah. And like I said,
it's very common.
It is. And after I just went to school, she was upset with me for a little bit. And then after I kind of proved to her, like, look, I'm doing it. I'm not asking you for anything. That's the thing with my siblings. We don't ask my mom or like our parents for anything. We kind of just do it because it was very hard for her, you know? So we decided to just not ask her for anything. And after that, it was, we just had, I had to just keep going. Because if I didn't, I would have been like told, I told you so, I told you so, you know? And I was like, I couldn't, I can't deal with that. Like, I can't deal with that.
And so did you end up getting your own spot or were you just working out the house?
Yeah.
Or?
So at that time, I also decided it was a good idea to move out of my mom's house. So I moved out of my mom's house. I moved in with my sister. They had a house over here, actually not too far. And she was living with her fiance now. Oh man, it was crazy. I had to pay rent there. I had to pay my bills. Thankfully, I didn't have a car payment at the time, but lots of things I had to pay for. I had to pay for school because I only got a certain amount of money because I already had my financial aid from UTEP done.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was crazy. I worked a lot. Mm. I worked literally all day.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I had to work at night at some point because I had to switch my schedule. So I was working 3 p.m. to midnight, and then I would go to from home though, which was good. And then I would go to school 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. and I only had an hour basically to myself.
Yeah, so you're just on grind mode at that time. Yeah,
I don't know if I could do it right now. I mean, I probably could, but yeah, it was crazy.
It was a lot.
Yes. Yes, it was. I would literally leave school, go to the gym for like an hour, drive my butt home, and I would say, oh, I'm having computer issues. That's why I'm late.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't. I just needed to stay, you know, active because it was crazy. It was a lot of work. Mm-hmm. It was tiring, but I did it.
Yeah. So when did you kind of see that first bit of success with like, so your business is called Kim's Aesthetics?
Yes, okay. Kim's Aesthetics.
When did that kind of start to kind of gain some momentum? Yeah.
So I started my business page when I was already in school. Mm-hmm. So I just came up with the name. I was like, Kim's Aesthetics, it's easy.
Yeah.
It's what I'm doing. Why not? And it actually gained a lot of traction. People were actually congratulating me because they were actually saying like, okay, you're actually doing something that you've been wanting to do.
Yeah.
You're pretty good at it.
And you're already doing you had a following on YouTube and
everything. I did, but I wasn't consistent on it anymore. It was more so Instagram that I was getting kind of a lot of clientele from because I was still doing freelance makeup. And I started seeing more traction when Les Do Makeup hit me up and she wanted to do her lashes. And then I also did her best friend, Crystal's. And yeah, I started getting more followers.
Yeah.
I initially met Les through Alex Vlex.
Okay.
Her husband. Because I did modeling for them. So I did.
I saw that,
yeah. Yeah, I did a little bit of their Vlexing and then Vlexing. And that's kind of how we just came together. And then she hit me up one day for lashes and that's how it all started.
That kind of helped you.
It helped me a lot.
Wow.
Okay. I'm not going to lie. It helped me a lot.
Yeah.
Thanks, Les. Thanks, Les. But yeah, it was cool. It was, I had my following already, but it boosted me a little bit more, which I'm really grateful for.
That's badass. It's crazy what an influence can do.
It is super crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is nuts.
One person can share your post and that can impact your career.
Yes. And to say the least, I've met a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people. You know, people that I never thought I would meet, especially like celebrities too. Like, you really think that these people are different than us. They're not.
Yeah.
They're just status. They have status. You know?
They're well known.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah. Damn. That's yeah.
And I have a lot of stories.
Yeah. And that's why I kind of love El Paso. Mm-hmm. So I'm leaving on Friday to Austin.
Yes. I heard.
Yes.
What's the tea on that?
I just want to
start fresh.
Yeah. I just want to expand a little bit. I feel like I've been wanting to move for a while, just kind of be on my, like, I've lived in Phoenix for school on my own, but I'm kind of ready for that.
Where did you go?
ASU? I went to Arizona State, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was fun.
I bet. I told Tristan, I was like, I would not want to meet you when you're at U of A, bro, because heck no, I don't think I would like you. No.
He was in the books? No.
I don't know. he's That's his life.
Wholesome king.
Yeah. No. But I actually lived in Austin for like 2 months. Mm-hmm. It was a couple of years ago, and it was insane. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I don't want to scare you, but it was a little expensive. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
It was a little expensive, but I didn't have my job. I didn't have anything like that. At the time, I was in a relationship, and that's kind of what motivated me to move over there. But it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Very different. It's going to be good for you.
For sure.
It's going to be good.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm just looking for that. Of course, just being on my own, that independence. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to the podcast, I feel like some of the most well-known podcasters that I know live in Austin. So I just feel like it's like a good place to be for that.
I'm not like Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan.
What about, what's his face? Alex Jones?
Alex Jones,
not that guy. He's yeah. controversial.
But. There's a dude called, mm-hmm. his name's Chris Williamson. He has Modern Wisdom podcast. So it's a humongous podcast. There's so many podcasts, but
of course
I just feel like it's just gonna be a good place to network, meet people and stuff.
And honestly, like, go for it, because 25 is a big year. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, I didn't do much at 25. I was still working, but at 26 I did. So time's fleeting. You have to take advantage of your youth right now.
Yeah. And really, it's crazy because it just, like, I knew I wanted to go.
Yeah.
But it just happened so fast. Like, mm-hmm. I started, like, the process. Yeah. And then before I knew it, like, I was in Austin, like, looking for jobs. And, like, in a matter of 2 weeks, everything changed.
Do you know people out there? Do you have friends?
I have some good friends out there.
Nice. So you're not going to be too alone.
No,
right?
No, for sure. Cool. And I feel like so many people go from, mm-hmm. like, El Paso from Austin, mm-hmm. just always visiting and stuff. So
Austin is weird, very weird, hippie. I loved it when I was there because I used to be a big hippie.
Yeah,
big hippie. I still am.
In what way? Like, you love, like, you're like a matcha girly, or what?
Share everything.
You're vegan as well. Are you now?
I was plant based for quite some time.
Okay.
I was plant based for like 10 years.
Oh, wow,
almost 11. Recently. A lot of people are going to get mad at me at this, but I had to start incorporating fish because mm-hmm. I got sick. And I mean, that's a whole nother story, but we can tap into that later. Yeah. But I do eventually want to go back to being plant-based. I felt really good, but it's just very hard when you're so busy.
Yeah.
And if you don't take care of yourself, you can get sick.
For
and
sure.
That's exactly.
You weren't supplementing the right.
That I wasn't eating correctly. I was eating really bad. Mm-hmm. Really, really bad, but got sick. Got diagnosed with asthma. It was just a whole mess.
Yeah.
A whole mess. So it was just a lot of crazy things happening in my life that kind of derailed me in a sense. Personal. My brother actually got really sick. Mm. That was in 2022, 2023. So a lot of stress.
Yeah.
Got sick. Cortisol levels were high. Mm-hmm. It was just really bad. But eventually I do want to go back to being plant-based. Right now I'm just here and there. I'm not really used to the fish yet, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I'm not a seafood person at all.
I wasn't either. And that's why it was so easy for me to give up. But when it comes down to desperate times, you got to do what for you got to do. You know what I mean? And I'm not happy to say it. Trust me, when I was considering going back to eating fish, because I don't think I'd ever eat chicken or beef ever again. Mm. It's just not in me. I went plant-based for the animals.
Yeah,
literally for sure. Ethical reasons. It wasn't because of health at the time. There was nothing supporting that. But yeah, it was mm-hmm. tough for me. I cried a lot. Yeah. Like, I cried a lot. It was very sad.
No, I bet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just love Chick-fil-A. It's so bad.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I used to be very radical.
Yeah,
a very radical vegan. I would.
Would you go after some people, be honest?
Yes, I would. And it was pretty bad, you know. Yeah. It was toxic. It was very toxic. And I kind of toned myself down. Just, I mean, my partner is not, he would never ever go plant-based. No, it's okay. There's some things that he does eat that I cook that are plant-based, but he could never.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he doesn't agree with the lifestyle, to say the least. He accepts it, but not for himself.
Yeah, no, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
but Austin was really good for that.
Yes.
I loved it. I loved it. It was so easy to get vegan, vegetarian meals out there.
Well, perfect. I bet El Paso is probably one of the hardest places.
Well, it's actually gotten better.
Mm.
From when I started, there was nothing. Nothing. Yeah. Like, now there's a lot of vegan vegetarian options.
For sure.
So it's perfect. It's not bad.
Yeah.
And the Mexican food is good too. Mm-hmm. Vegetarian, vegan.
Oh, that's true.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's kind of like the, from what I understand, El Paso mm-hmm. has like a very great beauty industry.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the reasoning behind that?
Because us Latinas like to get ready.
Okay.
You know, like I said, I told Diego, I was like, can we wait till we get my lashes done for this podcast? Because I don't want to go on there looking like a bum. But I think that's a big reason why it's so big here, because we pride ourselves on looking good. Mm-hmm. Like, wasn't there like a statistic saying that El Paso had the most beautiful women?
Ugliest
men? No, but yeah, I did hear something like that, right?
If it's not a statistic, I for sure would agree with that.
Mean, there is a lot of beautiful girls here in El Paso, but I think it's also because we take care of ourselves as far as like how we look.
Sure. You guys get ready to go to like Target and all these stores. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the reason why I got into lash extensions, was because one, the money is really good, and two, it's in demand.
Mm.
Every day I have clients. I mean, I do take some days off, but it's crazy. You know, girls can't live without their lashes.
I agree.
Or beauty in general. Yeah, like, it's crazy.
No, yeah. So, a lot of these girls I talk to, like, their routine for every week is insane.
Everything.
I'm like, who's paying? Who's funding this?
I mean, they probably have some sponsors.
Sure.
Let's just put it at that. No, or some of them work really hard.
Yeah, you know? No, for sure. Mm-hmm. All jokes aside. But no, it's just because it's so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, I have clients coming to me routinely every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Paying $90 every session.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm grateful for them, because obviously I wouldn't, you know, have the life that I do, but it's nuts to think that people spend money on beauty
for sure
enhancements. Like,
yeah.
You know?
I get, like, it makes you feel good for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I meet some really cool girls and women, older women. Like, older women are probably my favorite because mm-hmm. they're less drama and they got the money to pay, you know? But other than that, like, I meet so many girls. I see so many women on a daily basis, and it's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
Yes.
For sure. I will say, at one point, I was getting a haircut every week, which...
That's my brother.
Yeah.
Every week, he has to get a haircut. Yeah. Every week.
I guess because, like, especially for the podcast, I was like, damn, I need to have a fresh cut for
this. Of course, you have to. I mean, it's all about presentation. Have to, you know, like... You never know if someone's going to come across your video for the first time, you know?
Yeah,
like, you exactly. have to look good, you know?
Yes.
I get that.
I completely agree.
I get that.
But it gets fucking expensive for sure.
Hell yeah. I have a haircut next week. Haven't had one in a minute.
Your hair is actually really long.
Thank you. Yeah. I know. I usually have bangs, but mm-hmm. I just haven't had a chance to go get a haircut. So,
yeah. I moved it to every 2 weeks. So
oh, that's good.
It's manageable.
That's good. Yeah. Does your hair grow fast?
It does, but... At a point, they were like, dude, you don't need a haircut every week. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, you're right. But I get you.
It makes you feel good, though.
No, I totally get that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, too. Tristan doesn't go all the time. He goes maybe every 3 weeks.
Every 3 weeks.
His hair doesn't grow that fast, which is cool for him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he has the hookups everywhere.
For sure.
He gets things on the low, and I'm like, you're paying freaking upwards $100 for a haircut? That's crazy, insane. You know? But quality. You got to pay for quality. That's what it's about.
So, how do you feel your mental health has been?
Oh, man.
Recently
better.
Better.
Like I said, been through a lot these past two years.
Okay.
Like I said, I got COVID. I was diagnosed with asthma. Couldn't work out literally for a whole year straight.
What?
I couldn't breathe. Yeah. I literally couldn't breathe.
Before you go, because it relates so much,
uh-huh.
I've only been sick for... And the thing is, I'm not used to being sick.
Okay.
But I haven't been able to work out in only like 7 or 8 days. Yeah. Maybe 10, 9 days. And it's driving me insane. I'm like, for you to go a whole year is just like...
I mean, I would try.
Yeah.
I would go to the gym. I would do what I could. Couldn't even be on the freaking treadmill for like 5 minutes without huffing and puffing.
Yeah.
I had some... habits that I needed to probably get rid of,
mm-hmm.
and I could tell you later about those, but it was bad. I gained some weight. My cortisol levels were really high. My brother got sick. Like I said, he had this crazy, scary, very scary disease mm-hmm. called I don't even know how to say it. Uveitis. Mm-hmm. It affects the eyes. Mm. So initially, it's an autoimmune disorder that you don't know you have until you have a flare-up.
So like genetic or?
It could be genetic. It's a form of arthritis mm-hmm. in the eye. It's weird. I don't know how to explain it, but very, very scary. From one day to the next, he was literally blind. Very scary.
Wow.
Very scary. And like I said, we're very close to each other. So it affected all of us, you know? It affected all of us. Thankfully I had a good partner, Tristan. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have to worry about my relationship or anything like that. He was very helpful, very supportive, but man, that was very scary. Yeah. It was scary because if we didn't get the inflammation down, he could have literally gone permanently blind.
Jeez, yeah.
So it affected us a lot. My grandfather passed away. There's mm-hmm. just a bunch of things that happened that were really, really tough.
Yeah.
But
do you deal with anxiety?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I do. Very, very much.
What does that feel like for you?
Well, for me, it's just a lot of like uncontrollable thoughts. Mm-hmm. It had to do a lot with me not being in control, you know, because this is a funny analogy, but I don't like going on roller coasters. And mm-hmm. the reason why I don't like going on roller coasters is because I'm not in control of mm-hmm. my environment.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a main indicator that I was like, okay, I have anxiety. Mm-hmm. Like, I keep having these obsessive thoughts. I can't control them. I don't take any medication for anything like that. I just kind of learn to cope, mm-hmm. you know? But yeah, anxiety is a big thing, mm-hmm. but it's gotten better.
You end up getting the COVID, asthma. Mm-hmm. And so that year for you, would you say that was like one of the hardest years? Like you've had to,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yes, because I've never had asthma in my life. Yeah. And I didn't have insurance at the time because, you know, being an entrepreneur, you have to buy everything. And so I waited a long time. I self-medicated a lot. Mm-hmm. Some of my clients would bring me freaking inhalers from Juarez and, cause I, you know, something about me is that I have an addictive personality, but it helps me in a sense of research. Like I will literally hone in on something and research the heck out mm-hmm. of it. So I already knew I had asthma. So I was just doing things that I can kind of help myself. And then my clients, oh, I can get you an inhaler from Juarez. And I was like, okay, give me one, girl. So it helped me a lot. But I think I also abused the inhaler. Mm. So it was just a lot of things going in there.
Can you get too addicted to an inhaler?
I mean, I'm sure you can get addicted to a lot of things, mm-hmm. right? But it was just the only way that I was finding relief. And mm-hmm. so I had to use it. Yeah. I literally had to use it because if not, I couldn't breathe.
Yeah. And then did you finally go to a doctor?
I did. I went to a, what is it called? I don't remember the name of the doctor.
It's like a respiratory doctor? Or?
Yeah, but there's a certain name. Mm. I just can't think of it. Whatever. It's actually down the street. Yeah. But they obviously check your heart. They check your lungs. They ran a test on me. And of course, they told me, yeah, you can't even hold your breath. Mm. Like, you have asthma. And I was like, shit. So, yeah, I got treated. They gave me an inhaler. After that, it was just kind of like treating it on my own. Doesn't help that here is so dusty. Mm. One of my doctors even told me that one day I might even have to move out of El Paso because of my allergies. But, yeah, COVID did a number on me.
For sure.
It really did. Yeah. And it sucks. I never got my vaccines, though, so... Mm-hmm. Do as you will with that information. But so it was pretty tough, but it's getting better.
That's good better.
yeah
it's just I've been thinking to myself like mm-hmm. We take health so like for such for granted, you know, until like something actually happens. And
absolutely, and it sucks even more because the crazy thing is that during COVID, like 2020, I was like in the best shape of my life. Mm-hmm. I wasn't drinking. I was at home. I would sleep early. I was eating great. I would work out at home, outside.
Did your sister have her gym at that time?
No, that's when she was building it. And she was doing her Zoom.
Yeah.
And like, it was just crazy. She got a lot of her clientele from there.
Yeah. So she's been a trainer for like
quite some time. Like I don't even know how long. It's been a minute though. So she's been doing the thing.
Yeah.
I would work out with her too. So it was perfect. You know, it was really, really fun.
That's good. So when did that, like the whole concept? Well, I'm sure, because she was going to come on at some point, but it's just the timing never worked out.
Yeah. I told her, I was like, you should come on. And she's like, well, he's leaving too. And I'm like, oh, well, maybe
someday, sure. You know, we'll make it happen.
Via Zoom. Yeah. Via Zoom.
So the idea for like, because it's, you allow men as well, but the idea is more like a girl's gym, right?
So initially all of her clients were female.
Female, okay.
And so she was kind of like one of the first people to do Zoom training during COVID. Mm. So it just blew up. She had, I don't even know how many clients she had, like 200, 400, 300.
Oh, shit.
A lot of clients online.
Yeah.
From all over the place. And they were mainly women because women were predominantly the ones who wanted to stay fit during COVID. And it was a lot of, how would I say, like booty workouts and leg workouts, just HIIT workouts in general. So it just attracted women. And after that, she was like, you know what? I want to open a gym that is for women. Men can go too, but it's mainly women. Her new spot is going to be so fun. Lots of different classes that are coming. It's not going to be as pink, but it's still going to have some pink in there. It's going to be cool. Yeah.
That's badass.
Yeah.
When you think back to like, I guess your childhood in a way, what do you feel like, is there a moment or just a time that you can look back on that kind of influence a person you are today? Or just experiences or maybe something you kind of struggled with?
So I actually, I mean, very cliche. I was actually bullied when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I was a big tomboy. I would beg my mom, please, I don't want to wear a dress. I don't want to wear a skirt. Like, ew, what the hell? You know, so I would always be wearing pants. I would always be wearing shorts. And they would make fun of me about that. But I was very empathetic when I was younger. I still am. Mm. You know, you go through things that kind of toughen you up a little. And so I had a lot of friends because I chose to befriend them, you know. And it was one of those things that I just wanted everybody to get along. I wanted everybody to be friends. Plus, I do think a big thing that shaped me was my parents' divorce. It was very hard, you know. It was very hard. They got divorced when I was 10. So I truly, like, you know, it sucks. It sucks having parents who aren't together, because when I got older, I started to realize how much it affected me, especially with relationships, romantic relationships. But I don't think I would be the person I am today if I didn't go through that. You know, like, I'm very strong. I have a very good understanding of how to treat people and how to respect them. But, you know, I remember this time that I literally got punched in my stomach from this girl. She pushed me and my knees got all bloody. And after that, I realized, I was like, oh my God, I am not, like, not everyone's going to like you. Not everyone's going to accept you. Like, people are going to not like you just because you're you. And after that, I just realized, you know what? I don't care. I'm just going to be myself and I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. If I want to be nice to the person that nobody is talking to, like, I'm going to be nice to them just because I want to, not because someone else is, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I think also growing up in the Loire Valley really shaped my perception of things because, you know, I'm not talking smack about anybody on the East Side, but the East Side is definitely more different than the Loire Valley. East Side was a little bit more materialistic, a little bit more rich, I guess you could say. And the Loire Valley was nothing like that. Like, there's no money.
It's a lot more humble, huh?
Oh, very. Yeah. And Isleta, right there, right across the border, you know, we had people from Juarez, a lot of Hispanic people, but it was so much fun because there was hardly ever cliques. Obviously, you had your jocks, whatever, but everybody would hang out.
Yeah.
And it was so humble. People were nice. Hardly ever fights, I thought, but it was just a vibe. Yeah. I love the Loire Valley. I always tell Tristan, let's go get some land in Loire Valley. He's like, hell no. He gets all scared. I'm like, dude, it's nothing like that. Like, it's so chill. It was just It was beautiful. You know, it was very beautiful. My grandparents lived over there and it was just so much fun. Very simple.
Yeah.
Very, very simple.
I feel like Northeast is very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and it's funny because Tristan is like saying Andrus was the Isleta of the Lower Valley. And I was like, yeah, I could definitely see that. Yeah. You know, like it's just, I don't know. I'm so grateful for my mom putting us in that school rather than coming to America's. Because I could have literally walked to America's.
For sure.
But she did not want us to go. She was very paranoid.
Yeah.
She's like, no, something can happen to you. And I was like, okay. So we just, it was either Father Yermo or Isleta. And I was like, I'm going to Isleta. I'm not going back to a Catholic school.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it. It's just, you don't get a taste of the real world if you're in a Catholic school. That's exactly what I think.
Yeah.
So. It was fun, though.
Yeah.
I had a good time.
Oh, yeah. And mm-hmm. when you're, because you were 10, so you probably remember most of what was going on. Yeah.
I saw a lot of things that my sister and my brother didn't see. And me being the middle child, I was very empathetic. Like, I knew what was going on. You know, I would see things and, you know, I don't want to out my dad.
Yeah.
We have a better relationship now. But at the time, it was very hard to see my dad in a good light because of, you know, just influence from my mom's side of the family and her. You know, she was very angry. She was very hurt. So we kind of, you know, went with that perception of my dad.
Yeah, for sure.
But once I got older, I started to realize, you know, well, people make mistakes, you know, and we shouldn't be held. like that's not who you are initially. Like, you know, you make a mistake and you can easily become someone different if you work on it. But yeah, I said a lot of things that I probably shouldn't have when I was younger, but I mean, it made me who I am today.
For sure.
And
how do you feel like that influenced the person you are today, like the divorce?
Well, I knew for a fact that I never wanted to do anything like that to somebody that I loved.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, no matter how dirty I got,
done?
Yeah. It didn't matter. I still wouldn't want to do anything like that to someone that I quote unquote loved. So that was a big thing for me. And I guess it was also just the fact that I wanted to just be like somebody who could save initially, like my mom or my family, you know? So. Yeah. It was just, I don't know, it was a big responsibility, like being a middle child. It was so crazy
because
I didn't ask my mom for anything because my brother needed a little bit more help or my sister needed a little bit more help. And I saw that. She was a single mom. She, teacher, she would come home exhausted, couldn't do much, didn't have a life. And it was sad, you know, it was really sad. So I didn't want to add anything on her plate. So I literally did everything by myself.
Yeah.
Like I never asked my mom for anything unless it was like a science project.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I was very independent, still am, but I've learned to become a little bit more receptive, like of help. Like I ask people for help now, which is great because before, oh my God, I would go crazy because I would do everything by myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, that's pretty much.
How do you feel like it affected your relationships?
Okay. So I think a lot of people can agree, like if you come from a family of divorced parents, especially as a woman, when you don't have that male figure in your life, you are constantly searching for that, I guess, acceptance from other people, other men. I mean, if you're into men, right? Even a woman, if you're with a woman, right? But it's hard because you kind of disregard all the bad things and you only see like a little sliver of the good thing that they're giving you, even if everything else is bad. You know what I'm saying? So in relationships, it's tough. And that's why when people say daddy issues, it's a big thing. Yeah. It is true. When you have daddy issues, it's really hard to see people or men that you're dating for who they are rather than what you see them as. And that was really hard for me. That was really, really hard for me at first because, like I said, I always see the good in people. I give people chances. And at the end of the day, it's not about that. You gotta have to see people for who they are.
Yeah.
You have to, because if not, you're going to waste your time and you're going to get hurt a lot. And I did.
Yeah.
Thankfully, after a while, I finally figured it out, you know? And I realized, I was like, this is not a healthy relationship, you know? And I could easily say that I could resent my dad for that, but I don't even think he knows that we had those issues because he wasn't present, and he wasn't able to tell me, like, oh, you shouldn't be dating that guy.
Yeah.
That guy doesn't want anything to do with you. You know, it was me. Like, I had to figure that out on my own, you know? So it was quite literally tough because I didn't know what a good male figure was.
Yeah.
So how was I supposed to know who to date or how to decipher whether or not that person wanted to be with me just because of who I was?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
For sure.
So it was crazy. It was, it was wild ride. But I learned a lot. And I also see it as like, well, if I didn't go through that or those relationships, how would I know what I wanted or what I needed, you know? And now that I'm at this big age of 30, finally, I realize like, okay, I don't want that. Definitely don't want that. You know, it's easier for me to kind of see what a real healthy partner and relationship is.
Yeah.
You know?
And so what is that like?
For me?
Yeah. What does that kind of look like for you with you? Okay. And Kristen?
So.
Because you shot your shot from what I hear.
That's what he says. But all I did was compliment his car. That's all I did. He always swears, oh yeah, she's the one. It wasn't like that because at the time I was actually kind of getting over a relationship, situationship type of thing. Let's just say it was something that shouldn't have been taken serious at the time. And it was because I'm a lover girl. Like I said, I was never one to be able to do like the whole one night stand, booty call, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just wasn't me. I couldn't. I'm a lover girl, you know. I just would fall for people. So that whole situationship happened, and it was really tough. I asked God. I was like, God, why are you putting me through this again? Or like, why are you making me go through this situation? And it made me realize, okay, this is the last straw. And after that, we kind of parted ways. We finally like, okay, this is it. We're done. There's nothing more left. I kind of came to my senses finally, thank God. And I was like, you know what? I'm good. Like, I'm so good. I spoke my piece. I did what I had to do. And then Tristan comes along and we became friends first for a long time. We started talking because I told him, I don't want anything serious. Like, I'm not trying to get into none of that. I'm traumatized, basically. I'm traumatized. I don't want to do that again. And at some point, I had to apply a little bit of pressure and I had to tell him, look, what are we doing? Like, if you don't want to be serious, that's okay, but just let me know because I'm not, I can't do this again, you know? Yeah.
You're catching feelings.
Yeah, yeah. And also at that point, I had to be a little bit more logical and I had to ask him because, I was, like I said, I'm a Taurus. I go with the flow, super chill for the most part, right? So I would let things go at their own pace. But at this point, I was like, girl, if you let this thing get to the point that you let the other one have, like that other situation, it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
It's not going to be good. So I had to ask the question and there was nothing wrong with it. I had to apply a little bit of pressure. And I told him, it's either you want to be with me or you don't, you know? And he did. So that's how we started dating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And ever since then, it's been super chill.
Yeah.
Super chill. The most healthiest relationship I've ever been in.
Yeah.
It's wild.
You guys seem very chill with each other. Very like chill. Super laid back.
You know, and it's funny because I don't know if you get into zodiacs that much, but
a little bit.
What are you? Okay.
Or December. Yeah.
Damn. Sagittariuses are usually pretty wild. I've met some Sag.
That from what I've heard. Nuts. Yeah.
In a good way. Like passionate. Right. But
yeah.
He's a Virgo and I'm a Taurus, and supposedly Virgo and Taurus are like hella compatible. So when I realized that, it's because he's super chill. He's a very chill individual, like
super chill guy.
Super chill guy, and I'm a chill girl, so it works out. But you know, I think since he saw my worth and my value, it kind of helped him take me more seriously. And I stood on business, let me tell you, because I was not about to let someone walk all over me again. And he respected that. And I respect him for that because, you know, being a woman is hard when it comes to relationships because you can easily get taken advantage of, like, quick. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't about to let that happen again. Again, I was going to be in my 30s. And I was like, I'm done. I'm too old for that. And I'm tired. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be, oh, my God, where is he? Is he at the bar? Let me pull up. Because trust me, I've done that plenty of times in the past. And I'm not, you know, I'm very ashamed of that. But it is what it is.
It happens.
It happens. And, I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of people would think, like, oh, girl, are you crazy? You know, you were crazy. And I was. But it was just because I was put in that position to be crazy.
Yeah.
That person, you know?
And I've heard that.
No, it's true, though. It is true because I'm not crazy. I promise. I'm not. Like, you can ask Tristan and anyone around me. I'm very chill, very calm. But, yeah, like, I guess we also had our goals in mind, and that helped a lot. Yeah. That helped us put, like, our future in perspective. And we knew for a fact that if we work together, we can actually get to that point. You know what I mean?
It seems like you guys have... you guys very much help each other in both of your guys' avenues, whatever you're doing.
And you know what's even crazier? I admire his family a lot. I admire his dad. I admire his mom. Very, very good. They are divorced too, but they have a very different dynamic from my parents. And it's crazy. My parents don't talk at all. My mom is not a big fan of my dad. But they keep in contact for their kids, and it is crazy to me because the first time that I saw that they were like near each other in the same vicinity, I got so nervous because I told him, like, your mom's here, and he's like, yeah. So I was like, but your dad's right there, like, they don't fight or nothing. And he's like, no, like, what do you mean? I was like, oh my god, that is so crazy. Like, that's cool, you know, because it was always walking on eggshells when my two parents were in the same area.
Terrible.
I think that's where the anxiety came from, because it was a lot of tension. And we wanted to make sure that my dad and my mom were, like, separate all the time. And we didn't want no problems. So we were like, okay, let's just go over here with my mom. Like, sorry, dad, we're going to have to talk to you later because my mom doesn't want you, you know? Yeah. But someone I also heavily admire, too, is Tristan's sister, Hannah. She's tough. She is a tough cookie. I mean, she grew up with all boys in her family, right? But the thing that I realized was that she had a dad, and her dad was present, you know, at those very vulnerable years. And she don't give no F's. if she doesn't, like, how can I say this? She knows her value. She knows when someone is not stepping up to the plate, she'll be like, bye. You know, like, she does not stick around. She does not, like, give him another chance, which is great because you don't got time for that. You waste time on people who are not going to take you serious if you do that. And that's when I realized, like, damn, I really do have daddy issues, or I did. And so, yeah, I mean, I respect his family a lot.
Yeah.
They've taught me a lot.
For sure. They're great people.
Yeah, they are. They are. They really, really are.
And so, I don't know, I feel like, you tell me if you've heard this too, but sometimes they say, like, girls with daddy issues, like, sometimes don't choose, like, the best people.
I can tell you firsthand, that's the truth.
And what is that, like, you think it's just because having that, like, that figure that you can kind of, what's the word? Just that example?
So I can attest to that because of the fact that I went through that. And I'm not, you know, that crown is coming. I feel it. No, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to talk any shit about my ex relationships at all, because I've learned a lot from each and every one of them. And I did feel the love. But I realized that I would go after people that needed help. Like, I wanted to fix them to be that person that I wanted or that I needed, you know. And I think not having a father figure there constantly really affected my my view towards men. And there was a while where I was like, F men, because I was constantly being let down by them, you know? Yeah. And I was like, what the hell? Like, I'm putting my all into these relationships and you can't even give me 1% of that. Like, yeah, y'all love me, whatever, but you guys are not doing what I'm doing for you. Yeah. So that's when I realized that it's because I was getting men who are coming from dysfunctional families like I was.
Yeah.
And it was just not, like, it was just so much turmoil, like, on both sides. So I needed somebody to save me, and I was trying to save them. So it was just so much issues going on. And having that, like, having daddy issues, in a sense, was something that was really hard.
Yeah.
Really, really hard. Thankfully, I didn't let it get in my way of my studies or doing what I wanted. But emotionally, I was a wreck.
Yeah.
I was a wreck.
Yeah. Yeah. What would you say to someone, like, someone a girl specifically who's
going through that?
Yeah.
Well, I would tell them, don't go after somebody who has a lot of issues. Make sure that you are seeing the family that they are coming from, because it is a big thing. Make sure you see how the way that they talk to their moms, because if they disrespect their mom, they are going to disrespect you for the most part. What else could I say? Just because you have daddy issues doesn't mean that you have to make that an excuse. Mm. I knew that I was going to overcome them eventually. I just didn't know when. And I had to really just stop making excuses. I was like, why am I doing this to myself? You know, after that last, whatever you want to call it, it was just a sudden realization that I was like, I don't deserve this. Mm-hmm. I really don't deserve this. And you can't force somebody to be with you. You can't force somebody to love you. You can't force somebody to change. That's up to them. And unfortunately, sometimes they don't. So you have to just learn that after the second strike, girl, you gotta run. Don't stay. Like, they're not gonna change. They're just not gonna change unless they need to. And sometimes they need you to leave them to change.
Yeah. So, you know what's insane is that I, me personally, I think the past, like,
is this my...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, did I bring this? I don't remember.
Yeah. I'm actually going to change the battery.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
The last, I wouldn't say every single girl I've talked to, but damn near had either, if not daddy issues, for sure, like broken families.
It's tough.
And it I don't know if it's like me or like, is it the girls that I attract?
I mean, you don't have a broken family, right? Your parents are together.
No, that's the thing. My parents are like...
Well, I think it also has to do with your personality, too. Because, like, if you're naturally somebody who's empathetic, you feel bad for people, right? Yes. And you want to help them. But, you know...
Because I definitely feel that.
It's...
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a real thing, honestly. It's a real thing, and it sucks that we have to go through that to realize our worth, right? But... I would say, like, if you were in that situation and you really like that girl, obviously you have to just be somebody who is their safe space. You have to show that you can, that they can trust you, because that's a huge thing. Like, when I think with everybody, if you lose trust, it's just so hard to gain it back. Right. Yeah. But also just showing them that you're not like these other dudes really, like, and even then, like, if somebody wants to change for the better, they're going to do it. And if they're not, they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So you can't, like I said, you can't make somebody like you either. For sure, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
And for, I don't want to talk about your brother in specifically, like his situation, because obviously he's not here.
Yeah.
But for like a guy having like daddy issues, what's kind of like the comparison?
So him, for, he is... He's actually doing really good, though. Like, he's gotten better. He's had his issues with some interesting women, you know, to say the least. But he has, he's actually in a really good relationship right now. And I'm so proud of him, because I'm actually so excited to see that he's been becoming more of a man because of the fact that he didn't have someone to look up to. He had my cousin. He is like around my age, but he didn't live with him, you know? So it was very hard for him to find like some type of masculine energy. Yeah, you know? He's still learning a lot, and it doesn't help that he's the youngest brother either. So my mom tends to, you know, and we have to get on her sometimes. Like, mom, you got to let him. You got to let him. He's a man. He's got to do what he's got to do. And my brother will even tell, like, mom, stop. Like, yeah. I want to do this on my own, you know? And it's hard for her to let him go. But, you know, it's been rewarding to say the least, because I would say that the relationship he's in right now is really, really good. And he takes care of his girl real, really nice. And mm-hmm. it's nice that he has that emotional side to him, sure. because he knows what not to do.
Yeah.
And plus he has sisters.
I was going to say, having sisters is a big
thing. It's a big thing. You know, like, you wouldn't want that to be done, or something to be done to your sister.
Yeah.
You know, so he knows not to do stuff like that. So he doesn't do it. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that's been a little bit more of a struggle for him is a little bit of the independence. He's mm-hmm. getting there though, which is great. Thank God. Because I was getting a little worried. But he's getting more... like, no, I need to become more of a provider,
yeah.
rather than wanting someone to provide for him.
Exactly.
And that makes me really happy, because he didn't have nothing to look up to. Him being a man, that's tough.
Yeah.
A woman is a little bit different, but a man, I mean, your dad is usually the one that puts you in check.
For sure.
I don't want to say they bully you, but, you know, they toughen you up. Yeah. And he didn't have that as a young kid. So he had to grow initially by himself.
Yeah.
And he's been getting better, which I'm really happy about. He's really starting to think of his future, which makes me even more excited, because, like I said, at first he was not somebody to be like that. But as he's growing older, he has a girlfriend now who's really, really good. And I tell him, you better marry her. But whatever, that's another story. But he is becoming more of a provider, and he's thinking about how he can make his life better and also hers. Mm-hmm. You know, so I tell him, look, if you have a baby, which I really think that he's going to be the first one to have the baby.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I hope not. But if he does, I would be really happy. His life is going to change.
Yeah.
You know, and I think sometimes having a baby for some people is good for them, you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes it's not. Yeah. So, yeah, but he's been growing, which is good.
That's good.
Because it was scary at first. I was like, what is he going to do? You know, he doesn't have no man in his life to show him what, you know, from right from wrong. And it's crazy. It's nuts.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I'm happy for him.
I feel like we all arrive there differently, you know.
Yeah. And I think that one day when he is my age, he'll have it figured out.
For sure.
I hope. I hope, because that's in 5 years. So he needs to get it together.
Yeah. I've kind of recently hit that
realization
of, mm-hmm. because I feel like I've always been very focused mm-hmm. on, like, whatever I wanted to do. Like, mm-hmm. you mentioned your sister. Yeah. Like, and when she wants to do something, mm-hmm. she's going to do it.
Yeah.
That's always been, like, my personality.
Yeah. That's a Sagittarius trait right there. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Yes. And so with that, like, I've always been like that. Mm-hmm. However, it's always been much more of a selfish thing. Not in a bad way, but more so for, like, myself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It hit me, like, mainly, like, when I turned 25. Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, I want to do this for the people I love, you know? Like, my parents.
And
like, for example, like, we went on a vacation. And, like, they paid for a lot of the things.
Yeah.
Because they can.
Of course.
But I'm just like, I want to do that, you know? Yes. Like, it's time for me to...
That's a huge thing
for me, too. Be the difference,
yeah. That's a huge thing for me, too. Like... And I think that's pretty much my driving force mm-hmm. is my family. I want to help them. I want to get them out of debt. I want to get myself out of debt. Like, everything, you know? And I think for some people, it's... they don't really think of their family like that.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't know. But I do. So that's what I want to do, you know?
Yeah.
But that's good. I'm mm-hmm. glad. I'm glad that you're kind of growing in that sense of, I guess, just...
Want to be the provider?
Yeah, because it's hard when you don't, like, for me, in a sense, like, I didn't have that I didn't have anybody to look up to other than my mom, you know, but she's a woman and it's a little bit different. Some people may say, and I know my mom might even disagree, that having a dad wasn't necessary. But now that I'm older and I see a family who had a dad, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, wow, life would have been way easier if I had a dad. Like, yeah. I mean, I do have a dad, right? But they're present. Yeah. And I don't want to say like it was all his fault, because, you know, my mom did kind of withheld us from seeing him a lot just because he had his own issues going on. But I sometimes it's very hard not to resent either my mom and my dad, because I wish I had, you know, that, a little bit more of that masculine figure.
For sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
It would have been different.
Yeah.
It would have been really different.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel like your superpower is?
My sense of discernment. So it's easy. It's really easy for me to see someone for who they are and how they like their motives. You know, I can read body language very easily. I can see when someone's being not genuine, not authentic, you know.
That's a very good trait to have.
It is. Yeah. And it saved me a lot. And I'm glad, because, you know, I've also helped people around me, like my family, you know. My sister's very popular. She has a lot of people around her. And I tell her, I'm like, you need to be careful with a lot of these women, especially because not all of them are in it for, you know, what you think they are in it for. And that is one of my biggest, superpowers.
And is it just like a natural thing for you?
Oh, yeah. I've always been like that.
Just spidey senses going off.
Yeah. And I think it has to do with being a Taurus, because we're so in tune with like ourselves and the earth.
Yeah.
It's cheesy, I know. But I do believe in that. And I've always been someone who does my own thing. I don't care what other people have to say. I mean, I do care about my reputation, but I don't care. Like, I've always dressed
You're not a people pleaser.
You know.
Because you are empathetic, but you're not like.
Yes. There was a time.
Okay.
But it was just because I didn't like confrontation. I didn't want to make anybody feel lower or uncomfortable, so I would people please. But I'm glad you brought that up, because after a while I had to realize people pleasing in a sense is lying. You're lying because you're not truly doing what you want to do. Say say if you say yes to something you don't want to do, you're kind of lying to yourself. You know, like, and I had to realize that, like, that was another big thing with my sister. She's not a people pleaser. If she doesn't want to do something, she's not going to do it. Mm. She'll say, no, I can't. Or no, I don't want to. Like, what? And I really admired her for that, because I was somebody who was always like, okay, like, just because I'm nice, you know?
That's what I struggle with.
Yes, it's so hard. But you can be nice and say no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what I had to realize, too, is that in relationships, you can be a people pleaser too. And it's just because you want them to stay. And you say yes to everything because you want them to stay. And it's like, no, you can't.
Yeah.
If you want to have a backbone, you can't be a people pleaser. So that's something that I had to get rid of. And I'm glad I did. And now I actually am able to be like, no, you know what? I can't. Or no, I'd really want to do that. Or no, that just doesn't fit my vibe, you know? And I'm so glad I came to this realization, because it's exhausting. It's exhausting
for sure. It can be a lot. Has there been situations where you told someone about someone and like they kind of maybe heard you but didn't, just kind of continued down that path?
What do you mean, like
when you kind of read that a person wasn't genuine or something, and then you told them and then like it ended up being true?
Well, a lot of instances with my sister for sure. And there was one girl that I probably will never forget. And I really thought I was wrong, you know. And I thought that she was someone that I thought was a good person.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? She's pretty cool. I was wrong. I was so wrong. And that's when I realized, oh, yeah, girl. No, you need to listen to that first initial, like, gut feeling. Don't make excuses for people. You need to see people for who they are rather than like, no, like she didn't mean it like that. Or no. Mm-mm. Yeah. But other than that, I've been pretty spot on with a lot.
Yeah. Have you fallen off with like good, really good friends before?
You know what? I had a little bit of a hiccup with one of my friends. She's still my good friend, but mm-hmm. it was hard. Yeah. I had to have an uncomfortable conversation with her, which I hated.
Yeah.
But I really do feel like that actually strengthened our relationship. Mm. My relationships, my friendships are very low maintenance. Yeah. I don't have energy to see my friends all the time. And I'm glad that, not that I'm glad that I had that hiccup with her, but it kind of set a boundary that I didn't make at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And now I would say that I think we're still really good friends. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we respect each other a little bit more. We're adults now. And yeah, I think everything's great now. But I have had some situations like that. But
did you ever not talk to your dad for a while? Or did you guys always?
I think we kind of stopped talking to him for a little when we were in high school a little. Mm. But it was, no, he did make the effort. He would always go to our games. He would always call us. He would always text us. But there were some times where I'd be like, oh, I don't want to. Mm. You know, like, that age, you don't care about anything else but yourself, right? Now, I'm like, always, when he calls, I answer. Because mm-hmm. you never know what can happen. And I never want to regret not answering that call, you know? So, yeah, I'm glad we got over that whole, I don't want to talk to my dad. Like, that's so not cool, but no. Mm-mm.
That's good.
Yeah, we're good now. We're better. They're getting older. What can you do? Uh-huh. What are you going to do? Hang their past in their face? You can't do that. You can't. I don't want to be that person. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there any like specific situation you look back on? I'm sure there's a lot. Do you regret anything?
So I would say I probably regret not taking certain opportunities. Like when I was in Austin, I actually was messaged by Khalid, and he wanted me to be in his location video as the main girl, and I wasn't in town, and I was like, what the fuck was I thinking? Because I was in Austin for a relationship, and I should have told that man, you need to fly me out now, because I need to be in that music video. Yeah. But that was one thing that I regret.
And what did you, like, at that time, were you, like, popular on social, or, like, you knew Khalid, or how would you say so.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I would say.
You have a big following right now, so, like.
Yeah, but it hasn't grown.
No, but so you've had it for a good amount
of time. Yeah, okay. I have, and it's organic. Yeah. It's not bought, which is great. It's funny, because I actually went viral on Tumblr. When Tumblr was popping.
Oh, wow.
I posted a picture of myself. I had braces at the time, and I had glasses on. And that got a lot of notes. That's what it was called, notes. And then people started following me on Instagram. They found me because I posted that picture on Instagram, too. And that's how I started getting more followers. Like, I just started, I don't know, getting followers. And then I met Khalid at a party, at a house party on New Year's Eve years ago. Super cool guy. I love him. He's super cool. And then, yeah, he followed me. I followed him back. That's kind of when he started getting bigger.
And so this was like 2017?
Yeah, this was years ago, literally years ago. And he had hit me up, and I actually have the message. I don't know if you want to see it. But I felt like shit. I was like, what the hell am I doing in Austin right now? Not doing anything in this man's apartment.
And you're not even in.
No, I was pissed. I was so pissed. But then I was like, you know what? I'm here because I love him. Which is fine. I don't regret any of that. But there was a lot of opportunities I didn't take because of the relationships I was in. Mm. And I regret that. Yeah. You know, I should have just, like, I was too loyal. I was too loyal. And somebody told me that, like, that's your downfall. Mm-hmm. Like, you're too loyal. And I am. I'm very loyal. Which is not a bad thing. But I was loyal to the wrong people. Let's just put it at that.
Yeah.
And I wish I wasn't. I mean, not like I'm cheating or anything, but I wish I would have just taken the opportunities and been selfish with that, because I think my life would be a little bit different if I did.
For sure. But there's always going to be those things.
Yeah, you know? And it's okay. Life happens. I guess it wasn't meant to be, but I just wish I took a little bit more like, I just wish I was a little bit more selfish at the time. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's life. It's life. It happens.
What's something you would tell your younger self? Like, maybe it could have been like during when you were like 10 years old. Like, what is something you wish you would have heard when you were kind of going through?
You know, I wish my mom had the opportunity to be at peace rather than always frantic, you know, because I feel like if she was able to like tell me like you could achieve your dreams, you can do what you want, rather than like being too realistic, like, no, you need to go to school, you need to, no one's going to come to save you. Like, you know what I'm saying? I wish I had a little bit more support when it came to like my dreams.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big music lover. I always told my mom, I'm going to get famous, mom. I'm going to be a singer. I'm going to be da-da-da-da, whatever. And she'd kind of look at me like, I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, I feel like it's really important for parents to encourage their kids rather than, and I don't want to say she dulled my light.
Yeah, yeah.
But she made me a very realistic person, which helped me too. But I think just not to be scared, because I still to this day I'm scared of being seen, but back then I didn't, like, you would think not, because I was always posting on Instagram, always out everywhere, like I was in the scene, but I wasn't putting myself out there to get known. You know what I'm saying? So probably just not to be scared and just do what it is that you wanted to do, because time is fleeting, like I said, and you're never gonna get that time back, ever.
Ever.
So
it's something you always have to think about.
So you go to Austin, you do your thing, because it's not gonna come back, and at least you know you can come back,
for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty much what I would say,
for sure. That's amazing.
And
I that was the main driving force also going out there. It's because I know how hard it is to be away from family.
It's hard.
It's
scary.
Yeah. And it's definitely tough. But I think being at that age where I matured, I got to a point where, like, dude, I can come back. I can come back on a weekend. Like, it doesn't even matter. Like, it's not even far. Like,
yeah.
And there's going to be so many opportunities to come back. And
Yeah. And I was someone who was always comfortable. And I think I hated being uncomfortable. I hated it. I still hate being uncomfortable to this day. But, you know, every single day I'm trying to push myself to be not like, today, like, I wasn't feeling my best. And I was like, maybe we can reschedule. And I was like, no, like, don't do that. Like, just do it, you know, like, stop, you know, stop procrastinating. Just literally get it done and you'll be fine. Like, get yourself uncomfortable with the comfortable, you know, or no, is it get comfortable with the uncomfortable?
Yeah, for sure.
So
does Tristan help you with that? Does he make you kind of come out of that?
Oh my goodness. Yes, he does. So, you know, him coming from that whole football background has really changed my perception about a lot of things. Yeah. He's always saying, this is nothing compared to football. This is nothing compared to football. This is nothing. And I'm like, dude, okay, I get it. Which it's not. And I do, like, now that I've seen all, like, the documentaries and I hear his story and then I hear him talking to Jeremiah and I hear him talking to his dad, because they have all these debriefings. It's so freaking cute. It makes me laugh because, you know, it's cute.
Debriefings in what, like, what way?
After every game.
Oh, okay.
Every game. Bro, what happened? Did you see that pass? And it's just so funny because, you know, like, it's a beautiful relationship that they have, you know? They're like brothers, but obviously they respect their dad. But it's so funny because it is like a mentally hard sport.
Yeah.
Like, football is, I've learned to respect it a lot. Mm-hmm. At first I was like,
were you into sports or football or anything?
Well, another thing you need to know about me is that I'm a huge conspiracy theorist.
Oh,
so
shit.
I was also very like, oh, this is such a, this is too, this is that, but it's like, this is just to distract the social, you know, like, they don't want us to know what's going on. Like, you guys are so silly. Like, why are you guys watching a football game? And in a sense, I still believe that, but it's also like, it's a lot. Like, they have to go through so much, and it does put things into perspective. And I do think, like, okay, yeah, this isn't anything compared to football, because football is mentally, physically, and emotionally tough.
Yeah.
But yeah, he has pushed me a lot. He has encouraged me to do a lot of things that I wouldn't have done without him.
Yeah.
And he has helped me find my inner strength.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's amazing.
Which is great, because that was something that I was yearning for and trying to find within myself, but I just needed someone to help me tap into it. Mm. And it's getting there.
That's
it's
good.
And he's, you know, it's crazy because I've been in relationships, right? And no man has done what he's done for me.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Like, he's preparing to buy a building for me, and I'm like, wow, that's crazy, you know. Yeah. And it's like, if he wanted to, he would. And yeah. And now I'm realizing, like, okay, I'm in the right place. Yeah, you know what awesome. I'm saying? So it's wild.
Mm-hmm. That's
good. Super good.
Yeah. Hell yes, yeah.
I'm all.
Shout out Coop.
Shout out Coop. Coop. I'm gonna be Mrs. Coop hopefully soon. Just kidding. I'm just okay. kidding. Yeah, one of these days. No pressure. I'm just kidding.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is like your routine like? What's your day like? Like, from start to finish. What time you wake up? What are you doing for?
So you know? I like to wake up early. Mm-hmm. I do.
Like 5, 6.
Yes, yeah. I do try to wake up as early as possible. Mm-hmm. I don't start my days really until like 10 o'clock. Like, mm-hmm. that's when my first client usually is. Sometimes I'll do 8. But I work every day. So I have clients, like 3 to 4 clients a day. I get out of work maybe like at 6, 7, mm-hmm. 6:30 now, because I'm going to my sister's classes. I'll go to the gym, go home, cook, shower, go to bed. That's literally it. I don't do much anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm very at peace at what I do. I'm telling you, like, I love the private life. I love being at home. I love being a homebody. But there's still a part of me that wants to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm like, I get on TikTok, I post, and I'm like, oh, it's so exhausting. You know? Talking to people, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, it's kind of dumb not to try and tap into something that can potentially skyrocket you and make another source of income. Yeah. Like, I want to get back on YouTube. I do. And I don't necessarily think I want to do anything with the beauty, but I want to, I think, talk and like give people advice and kind of have like a sit down chat, because I have a lot to say.
Yeah,
I do. I've been through so much, and I want to.
You feel very natural on a podcast. Like, it comes natural to you.
I'm a yapper. I'm definitely a yapper. And it's so funny because I'd be talking so much. I talk everyone's ear off. I feel so bad. But eventually I do want to get on YouTube or some type of podcast, but until then, I'm living the peaceful, chill life, you know, like nothing crazy, homebody vibes.
Love that. That's good. I think, and also once you really tap into something you genuinely enjoy, I feel like it just kind of comes to you.
It does, honestly. Uh-huh. And, you know, I'm excited because, you know, from day to day, I write down my little notes like, oh, I could talk about this topic, whatever. But it's just about doing it. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It really is hard.
For sure.
I know it is. And I how did you get started?
Oh, man. It was, honestly,
crazy.
Yeah.
And you've stayed consistent. And that's hard. Yeah. The consistency part is the hardest part.
For sure.
That's what's got me crazy. Yeah.
I think for me, which I'm grateful for, I wanted to do a podcast for a while. Yeah. But it was so uncasual, or it was so casual mm-hmm. and nonchalant for me mm-hmm. when I started.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any expectation with it. Yeah. It was just like, you know what?
I
know how to edit videos. I got the equipment, and I didn't have a name for it. And I was just like, I know what I want to talk about. Yeah. So just did it.
Yeah. That's
and then good. Like a couple weeks in, a name came to me, and it just went along with the brand. And really, I didn't really, like, I was doing it for fun.
Yeah.
Obviously I still do it for fun, but mm-hmm. it didn't really start, like, kind of gaining the traction that it has until the beginning of last year. I've been doing it for 2 years. It didn't really start, like, picking up until, like, last year, where I was like, all right, I want to go.
Consistency pays off.
Yeah, for sure.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Well,
I feel incredibly honored to be on here because, I mean, this is a project.
Yeah.
It is. And honestly, if you can do it, I'm sure I could tap in and do something the same. I mean, not podcast-wise, but, like, YouTube, being consistent. That's what I'm trying to say, is like, it's very admirable and it's good.
Appreciate you.
I'm happy for you. Yeah. I'm like really, really happy for
you.
Like,
you.
It's cool.
Yeah.
The production is hard. It's very hard. And I don't think people understand that unless you know what it takes. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm like, okay, I'm getting that motivation.
Yeah.
Getting that fire. For sure. You know?
That means a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
It's sometimes it's hard to kind of see that when you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to see sometimes the impact that, because they're like, people do, now that I realize, like, people do listen and look forward to the podcast.
They do.
So it's,
I love podcasts.
Yeah.
I listen to podcasts every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, I love music. But I think as I'm getting older, my frontal lobe is completely developed now. And I yearn for more information. Like, I like to learn. Like, I loved school, but I don't want to go back to school. Yeah. So how else am I going to learn other things? Is listening to podcasts while I'm working, you know? Sure. So it's good.
Yeah.
Keep doing it. Keep
thank
doing
you.
It.
Thank you.
Got
you.
It. You got it.
Appreciate
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that is episode 65.
Wow. With that Kimberly was a long
40.
One. That was a long one.
Well, how much was that? An hour 40. That's pretty good.
Oh, that's not bad. That's a good amount of content.
For sure.
We're going to be having fun editing that.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a lot of clips. So
yes.
We'll,
make sure I look good.
Oh, for sure. Always.
Cover the tummy. Because I gained some pounds. Oh, my God. No, I'm just kidding.
Stop.
No, but
yeah. Good. Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully, we. I'm going to be tapping into your content. So yes. You better be. I'm going to be on
Stay
you.
Stay on me. Stay on me because sure. I need the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I work well under pressure.
That's good.
Yeah.
Apply that pressure.
Yes.
All right, y'all. I will see you. Oh, no. We're doing a podcast tomorrow.
Okay.
Look soon in Austin, Texas.
Yay. Woo.